Good morning, everyone, both in the hall and online on Zoom. It's great to be here with you. The opening question for this morning is how late can you be before you have to apologize? I think the answer to that question ultimately is it depends. It depends where you are in the world. I worked my life in the corporate world, and so personally, but I think it's probably true for most of us in this country. We would be, if we had a meeting, let's say it was an interview, but anyway, a meeting with someone in the coffee shop, if it were 5, maybe 10 minutes late, we'd say, "Well, so it's terribly sorry that I am late," and you feel that you must apologize. It would be different, perhaps, if you were in South America. In South America, you could be maybe up to 40 minutes late and still not feel the need to apologize. Now, imagine that I am at a business meeting on the island of Yap in the South Pacific Sea. And the meeting is supposed to start at 3 p.m. and it's 4 p.m. and it's still not started. And I, being from where I am extremely stressed. And I say to my host, "What's going on? This meeting was supposed to start an hour ago." And he looks at me and says, "Don't worry, Simon. In this place, meetings normally start about 4 hours after they're supposed to begin." Can you see that you won't be able to tell whether someone is going to be upset by arriving late by looking at your watch? No. You need to look inside their head to see what their thinking is. Our stress is all based on what we expect. We define what is late and that therefore gives us stress or causes us to be concerned. We define what it would be for us to need to apologize. As I say, for me, it's 10 minutes. For someone in Brazil, perhaps it's 40 minutes. If someone doesn't come when we expect, it's then that we're upset. And in our reading in Mark chapter 5, Jesus is late. Jesus is very late. Jesus is so late, a little girl dies. We read scripture, but often I think we need to take it a step further and enter in to what we're reading, especially in some of these narratives in the Gospels. I want you to read yourself in to the mind of Jairus. Your heart is broken because your daughter is sick, and you have seen or heard the stories about the Lord Jesus's ability to heal. You know he has the power to heal, and you will try and do anything to make your 12-year-old daughter, the daughter whom you love, whom you adore, she is ill. He has no hope. Jesus is his only hope. There is nothing more he can do. Jesus only is the one that can bring healing. And everything seems to be going so well. They are walking together back to Jairus's home. And then Jesus stops to speak to a woman in the crowd. Imagine it, like Jairus and Jesus. They're like in an ambulance with the the light and the sirens blaring, and they're going straight to deal with the challenge of this dying girl. And then Jesus says, stop! 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 Yes, I want to speak to that woman. So you are Jairus. What do you feel? You're thinking, please, teacher, please don't delay. Don't spend time with her. Don't wait any longer. Because if you do, my dear, dear daughter is going to die. And I find verse 35 difficult to read. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived announcing that the daughter was dead. It's almost as if he sort of sat down with her and he's having a conversation. It's like, at least to Jairus, he's going on and on in his discussion. He's still speaking to her. And Jairus is just dying inside. And so the awful news of the young girl's death is announced, and everyone is thinking it's over now. And then Jesus announces that that is not the way to respond to this situation. Verse 36, Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Jesus is saying, no, it's not over. Don't let what you think is a long and unreasonable delay make you lose hope. Trust me. God's grace doesn't work on our timeline and in accordance with our schedule. It often will feel slow to us, making us upset or even doubtful of God's love. But we are called to trust and to believe. Jesus is telling us that he keeps his promises, but not always in the way or in the time that we expect. If you want Jesus in your life, the implication appears to be prepared, like Jairus had to be prepared, to feel like he's taking his time. But you can be sure that he will come through for you. Don't be afraid. Just have faith. And of course, we will all face different kinds of delay. We might have a job which we don't like, or we're trying to find a job and we don't get one. And it's a grinding delay, or we want to fix a broken relationship, perhaps in the meeting or in our family, and that other person won't speak to us or won't make a move, and there's a tremendous extended period of heart searching and sick, you know, where your heart's sick about this broken relationship. Or we see ways in which our life could improve in all sorts of different ways, whether it be health or money, but it just carries on in the same way that it always did. And this passage, I think, shows us that it clearly that sometimes a faithful disciple will be sick at heart because of delay. That's not something that the Lord will ring fence us from. It is part of the way in which he works in our lives. But the powerful message is, I think, that In this example of Jesus' delay, there are messages of grace that come to us out of the delay. As hard as it might seem, there is grace in delay. The first message of grace in delay is that Jesus can see things that we cannot. Jesus had a choice presented to him. Was he going to heal the woman, the old woman, or was he going to heal the young girl? And everyone looking in would say, well, choose the young girl. This old woman is close to death. Heal the young girl. But Jesus knew that he could heal both the woman and the girl. So he spent time with the woman after she was physically better, probably to make sure that she understood that this was not some kind of magical garment, that what had made her well wasn't the garment, but was her faith. So verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith, and not the garment, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. And this process of bringing her along the road of understanding meant that he had to spend time with her. But Jairus wouldn't have been able to see that. All he could see, or what he thought he could see, was needless delay. So there is, in this example of delay, there is grace in delay. Jesus is encouraging us through this experience of Jairus to trust him as he knows what we do not know. Just because we can't see a good reason for delay doesn't mean that there isn't one. Knowing this and really believing it helps us face delays in our life of faith. Jesus can see what we cannot. And I should add, these are the messages of grace in out of this period of delay that come from the text. You may well be being taught different messages in the experiences of delay which you face. So what's the second word of grace in delay that we can see here? What else is made clear by delay? Well, it's that the grace of God is for everyone. Let's try and distinguish in the way that perhaps the first century might have keenly distinguished between Jairus, a very important man, who would have been given much respect, and the sick woman who was poor and an outcast. And of course, everyone looking on would have, I would suggest, have expected Jesus to make a beeline for Jairus's house. No one was more important than Jairus as the leader of the synagogue. But Jesus stopped to help this poor, sick, outcast woman. He chose to spend time with her before he returned to helping Jairus. And Jesus's delay in this instance shows that it doesn't depend, God's grace doesn't depend on who you are or what you've done in life or how much money you have or what job you have or whether you're good looking. Jesus took his time to help an unclean woman, even when a highly respected male leader was in need. And so the delay taught Jairus, and it also teaches us that God's grace is open to all of us, whoever we are. Jesus stops and helps the forsaken woman and shows God's grace to her. And what else is a message of grace coming out of the delay? Well, in stark terms, Jesus' delay causes the girl to die. He's not there to fix the problem, and therefore she dies. But what this event, this account shows us is that given that's the case, Jesus is completely trustworthy when faced with the challenge of death. When Jesus brings the girl back, he does it with great gentleness. He took her by the hand, and it says, he says, Talitha koum, which means little girl, get up. And Talitha was like a pet name. It meant honey or sweetie. When he said get up, it was like a parent waking a child in the morning, not a dramatic command to rise from the dead. And this shows us two things about the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows us his power, of course. Death, the greatest enemy we face, is nothing to him. It's like he simply reaches down into death and pulls her up out, waking her from a sleep. And the other thing is it shows his tenderness. Didn't need to know what he said. This is, you could say, Mark and detail. Mark actually is shorter than many of than the other gospels, but he gives a lot more detail. And this shows us the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's like the perfect parent, holding our hand and never failing us. So we don't like it at all, but there is grace in delay. Here we've seen that it shows us that God does know what we don't know. We've seen that the delay teaches God's grace is open to all, and it teaches us the gracious message that the Lord Jesus Christ is so trustworthy and gentle. He reaches down and takes us out of life, out of death, and gives us the hope of life. And so, brothers and sisters, as we take the bread and wine another week, you may be thinking you're looking back at a lot of days or weeks or years or decades of what you might consider to be delay. Are you frustrated because you can't see a reason for the delay in your life? It is hard, but Jesus is showing us here that God doesn't work to our schedules. We say his wisdom is beyond our understanding, and we freely return to that when things do not unfold in the way that we hope and in the timescales that we hope. Don't set your expectations as to how God will act by reference to your watch, but by reference to his loving heart. And the amazing thing is, just focus on what God is doing in that period of perceived delay, as far as we're concerned. What is he doing? There's a powerful verse in Ephesians chapter 3, I think, which helps us fix our minds and our hearts on the activity of God that we can't see. The activity, which means things are happening, but we can't see them. This is Ephesians chapter 3, and verse 20. This combination of God's actions, but it's just beyond us. Chapter 3 and verse 20. Sorry, but we won't go to the context. There's a bit out of context, but I think it works by itself. So this is 3:20. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work. We saw that mighty power at work through Jesus within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So God is active, but we can't understand it. We can't see it. We can't even imagine how great that treasure of activity is, what he is planning and working at work within us. And that then causes Paul in verse 21 say, glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's the only appropriate response, to go from, I don't understand this, I know that God is at work, therefore all glory to the Father because of his great grace and his loving kindness. Paul is saying to us here, it's impossible to ask for too much blessing. God's capacity for giving far exceeds people's capacity to ask or even imagine it. So as we consider our Lord God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work of salvation in the bread and the wine, why, the question comes to us, why rush someone who loves us so much and knows what he's doing? Trust in his timing. And what did Jesus say to Jairus? Just remember what Jesus said to Jairus. It's not what we expect. He says, he doesn't say don't doubt, just believe. He says, don't be afraid, just believe. Not believing is a function of having too much doubt. It's not having enough courage. Like the woman, showed the courage necessary to go to Jesus, not knowing what would happen, but believing he could help. The frightened woman, verse 33, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. Don't be afraid, just believe. Let go of your fears, trust him. Why would you try to hurry someone who loves you so deeply? So the exhortation, brothers and sisters, from this is that we are to embrace God's timing. He will never be late. And as Paul tells us in what he wrote to the Galatians, it says that, he says that, but when the right time, this is Galatians 4, when the right time came, God sent his Son.